His appearance was like lightning, wow, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. What a moment this is. Hey, we're living in the text. In a split second now, the doubt and despair are devastatingly shaken.
Happy Easter, friends. It is Easter weekend right now, and that means an incredible time of celebration and reflection on all that Jesus has done. And today's message is just that, focusing on Resurrection Sunday, the turning point in the world's calendar. Why is that, Robbie? Let's pull the best news out front. Why is Resurrection Sunday the turning point in history?
Well, because without that, there is no hope. There is no salvation. That means that Jesus Christ did not actually pay for our sins, or at least it wasn't received by God the Father as that. So with the resurrection comes the guarantee of everlasting life, defeat of death, Satan, and sin itself. So,
amen.
Yeah, this is why we party on Easter and why we're so glad for, again, Resurrection Sunday. Man, truly the most important day in the history of the entire world. So we do say to you, happy Resurrection Sunday, and praying that you will be filled with such joy and perspective and truth to marvel at the empty tomb and what we pray that means for you as we trust that you are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're excited to get to Matthew 28 again. It's telling the story of what happened on that first Resurrection Sunday and all that God was doing and Jesus Christ being raised and the joy, the fear, the wonder, the bewilderment. It's just so exciting just to kind of enter into these passages. So may you be especially blessed this day as we again remember and rejoice in the most important day in the history of the world.
Absolutely. Can you imagine being with Mary in this moment? Can you imagine what she would be feeling? Okay, friends, let's live in the text together. Find your Bible and open to Matthew chapter 28, and let's get into it. Happy Easter. Here's Pastor Robbie.
And we are so glad that you have joined us at Hope Bible Church Oakville this Easter. It excites us, and we're very grateful and very thankful. My name is Robbie Simons, one of the pastors here. I'm gonna pray right now, and the reason I pray is because Jesus says, apart from him, we can do nothing. I'm gonna just take a few moments to do that right now. So Father, I love to bow low before you because you're the only one who can change hearts. You're the only one. You are working this weekend, and you are working today, and you are working now. And we just love you for it. And so I pray in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, with the reality of the power of the empty tomb, that you are causing people to be made alive, to learn things they've never learned before, and to be transformed in you. And so this is a supernatural time. This is not going through the motions. This is not religion. This is relationship with the living God. And I just revel in it. I revel, and we love you and need you. And so with such expectation, we pray to you now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. If you agree, then you can say amen, amen. So good. So Resurrection Sunday, obviously that is our theme today. Resurrection Sunday remembers and signifies, as we have heard already, the most important day in the history of the world. Resurrection Sunday is the turning point of history itself. And we ask the question, well, why is that so? Well, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, this we understand the Bible teaches us. The moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead is the guarantee that sin has been paid in full. One way to look at it is this. If the cross, Good Friday, when Jesus died on the cross represents the payment, then on Easter Sunday, the empty tomb represents the receipt for the payment that was made. Again, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, we also understand this, that death has been eternally defeated. That is a massive statement of hope and power and glory. We also know this, as we've heard, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, then Satan's doom is sealed. So again, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead is the moment the world would never be the same again. And in many ways, we are proof of that today. I mean, here we are 2,000 years later in a continent that was not even known of by the people again in the events of that first Easter Sunday, a nation that was only formed, 150 plus years ago, whatever. And here we are gathering to celebrate the reality of the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, who died 2,000 years ago, but was raised from the dead. Not to mention 2.5 billion others across this planet who would testify to the same thing. And that number is projected to be 3 billion by the year 2050. Truly, from that first Easter Sunday, everything changed. So what we want to do now, though, is like, well, what happened on that first Easter Sunday? What happened that made the world change forever? What made it the greatest day in history? Or we can ask this, why would the world be changed forever? So we're going to learn that right now in the Bible from a passage in Matthew chapter 28. So if you have a Bible, I'd love for you to turn there. I'm going to read our text for us. If you don't have a Bible, there might be one in front of you again in the chair. We like to put, again, Bibles there for our guests. If you want to turn there, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. It is the last chapter, chapter 28. If you don't have one, as we go through, not quite yet, but as we go through, the verses will also be on the screen for you as well. Let me say this so we're clear. Again, if you're visiting with us, so, so glad you're here. I have no message apart from this book. All we do is we read the Bible, God wrote it, and we go verse by verse, and God changes lives. It's a pretty awesome formula. We're excited about it. You don't want to hear from me, you want to hear from God. Matthew 28, verse 1 says this. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Wow. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified." He says this, verse 6, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay, then go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him." The angel says, "See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, I bet. And they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." It's amazing. "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Okay, so what happened on that first Resurrection Sunday, that first Easter Sunday? Three main things we observe from our text today. Number one, this happened on that first Easter Sunday is this. Doubt and despair were devastatingly shaken. On that first Easter Sunday morning, doubt and despair were devastatingly shaken or rocked. Again, verse 1 on the screen for you, if that's helpful for you. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day, obviously Sunday of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. So Matthew's gospel here is telling us Mary Magdalene, the other Mary. Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel, again, they also contribute to the story, said one other woman was with them. Her name was Salome. So they are approaching the tomb again that first early Sunday morning. Now, by the way, if just as a side note, if you're going to fabricate a story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the first century, the last thing you would want to do is to say that women were the first witnesses to this incredible miracle that changed the world forever, because women were not allowed to be witnesses of anything in the first century, let alone this. So if you wanted to make up a story, you would never write it in this way. So because the story is not made up, because it's historically, again, what changed the world forever, of course, this is exactly how it happened, and God chose women to be the first people there to witness this amazing, amazing moment and amazing day. Now, as we read scripture, as we go through the Bible, especially narratives, we want to enter into the text. We want to enter into the story. We say this a lot around Hope Oakville here. We say, live in the text, live in the text. Why? We want to enter into and kind of put ourselves in the sandals of these women here that we might grasp in a greater way the significance of what is happening. So let's do that a little bit. So you have these women, again, early on that first Sunday morning, they are approaching the tomb with tremendous love. They loved Jesus Christ. However, they are not approaching with faith. They're not going to the tomb believing he is risen. They're approaching the tomb. They saw Jesus be horrifically crucified before their very eyes. So they're going to the tomb, and I don't know how they're expecting to roll away this massive stone. They have some spices they're hoping to anoint his body with. But let's be clear, they are approaching and they're expecting a dead, lifeless body that is actually beginning to show the signs of decay. But there they were in this early, cold, dark air of that first Sunday morning of Easter. And they were there, why? Because they loved Jesus so much. They loved Jesus so much, as we said. And that makes sense. They had ministered with Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. They had been taught by Jesus. Their lives had been transformed by Jesus. They have never known a man like him ever. They saw his miracles. They heard his wisdom. They observed his sinlessness. They followed him. They watched him. And I mean, he was everything to them. He was saying he was the Son of God, Messiah, the chosen one. He was the Savior of the world. And they believed it. They believed it. And they were watching him live. And then unspeakably on Good Friday, they actually watched him die, nails in his hands and feet. And they watched him in agony there. And as he said these words again to the Father, and then a sword was pierced through his side, and as the blood and water poured out, and then he hung there lifeless, and his body was taken down, and he was placed in a tomb. They had watched all of this happen. So just imagine the despair and the sorrow that they would have felt. Imagine the expectations they had in Jesus, though, right? For all the reasons that we just mentioned. He was the chosen one, Messiah, the one that they were believing in. They were expecting, this is it, this is it. Here's the Savior. He's the one going to redeem us and save us from all the oppression around us. Imagine having these expectations that high. And then all of a sudden, these expectations are absolutely shattered at his death. They don't have answers. They're just sitting there and wallowing again in their despair. We understand that. I think by contrast, you think of us in the story or maybe us in our lives, I think of how shattered our expectations come when vacation plans don't work out the way we want, right? Now, we don't handle that so well. Think of the expectations are shattered when an Easter dinner is overcooked. Think of the expectations that are shattered as we don't find our parking lot at church or our parking spot at church and somehow we're filled with misery. But here we have these women. They like legitimately had these massive expectations of the Christ and the chosen one, and now he's dead. Or so they thought. And I'd love to try to enter into the text. It makes the Bible come alive to me. Did they say a word as they walked together? Did they even lift their heads? Were their eyes filled with tears as they were recounting the last couple of days? How deep was their sadness and their despair and their sorrow? I wonder, right? We don't hear anything about Friday night, Saturday in Scripture. Did they sleep a minute Friday or Saturday? Were they even able to get a minute of sleep? Or they just kind of, again, recalled all of the gruesome details and the sorrow and the sadness and the depths of despair? But this is what I love about our God so much. So often when we are at our worst, God is at his best. So often in life, when you seek Jesus Christ, so often when we think it's over, God is just getting started. It's how he works. For a day that would turn out so incredibly glorious though, and just unbelievable life-changing news, it began with such serious doubt and despair. But I want you to understand right here now too, again, you're here with us today, so glad that you are. The heart of the gospel, what's the gospel? The good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel that Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead. I don't want to give it all away just yet. We'll certainly get there. But so often as God works in our lives, listen, those who find themselves in the greatest despair are often on the verge of greatest delight. That's what's happening here. Consider these women here, right? Their grief in a few moments would turn into overwhelming gratitude. Their misery would turn into marvel in the Lord. Their massive hurt would turn into eternal hope. Their gloom would turn into the glory of God. Their pain, their anguish would turn into praise. And this is why one of the main principles, again, of people truly searching out the Lord and Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, God so often works among the broken. He doesn't work among the proud because the proud don't need God. The proud say, I don't need God, I am God. But the broken are so often positioned to believe. Because the broken understand, I need someone beyond myself. I cannot save myself. I cannot do this thing called life. This is why Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. Meaning, those who understand they are spiritually in need, who have sins that need to be forgiven beyond themselves, those are so often the very people that God works in. So it's the broken that becomes so beautiful. Because it's the broken that humble themselves. As scripture says over and over again so many ways, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the Easter story is littered again with this truth. This takes us to verse 2 now. Look at verse 2 on the screen for you again if it's helpful. It says here, and behold, Matthew loves to say behold. Behold, look, take notice, pay attention. Behold, there was a great earthquake. Wow. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Wow. And came back and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Wow. So I imagine the angel sitting on the stone like, yeah, stone, is that all you got? Is that all you got? You think you're going to keep Jesus in the tomb? I think he's like, in your face, stone. That's what I think he's saying right there. And just kind of mocking it because the reality, this has no power compared to the power of God. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning, wow, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. What a moment this is. Hey, we're living in the text. In a split second now, the doubt and despair are devastatingly shaken. And it's replaced with a holy fear, and rightly so, right? Like you're walking somberly in the dark, and then an earthquake, wow, and then an angel, and then appearance like lightning, and then clothing as white as snow. I mean, that's something else. And then you have the mighty Roman guards. The mighty Roman guards that are so tough and so strong, and they become like human popsicles in an instant. And they are frozen with fear and unable to do anything. Maybe they're unconscious. They're standing there absolutely frozen, which, by the way, just another side note, this is a small but wonderful indication when it comes to the power of humanity versus the power of God, man. It's not even a contest. It's not even a contest. When it comes to the power of God, you have these mighty Roman guards, again, so tough, so arrogant, man, so filled with kind of a worldly sense of power. And then in an instant, they're brought to nothing. There's nothing they can do. Let's guard the tomb. Yeah, good luck with that one, okay? And there they are, unable to do a single thing, because when the power of God shows up, it obliterates the power of man. All through scripture, this is what happened when Christ came, when Christ was raised, and this is what's going to happen when Christ returns as well. The earthquake here is a signal of Christ's victory. I love that the earth shook when Jesus died, and I love now the earth leaps for joy as Jesus Christ is raised. The angel here, a representation of God's glory, shining like lightning, depicting the glory of the risen Lord is what is happening there. Clothing as white as snow. This signifies God's holiness and power and supremacy. The text tells us the angel literally just descended from heaven. I think if you just descended from heaven, you'd be shining too, right? This is amazing again within our text. It's also fascinating to me that when Christ dies, the sun goes dark. But when Jesus Christ is raised, man, the glory begins to shine. What a moment this is. What a moment this is. Doubt and despair are devastatingly shaken on that resurrection Sunday. What a moment, listen, and also what a word for us. What a word for us right now. It's no coincidence that as our society, Canada, our culture, again, our society, as our society has increasingly rejected Jesus Christ, it's no surprise to me that despair and depression are at all-time highs. A Gallup poll from just about a year ago indicating statistics proving that depression, despair, suicide thoughts, rates are at all-time highs. Isn't that so interesting, though, that you have depression and despair all-time highs within our society at the very same time our society has never experienced more luxury? No generation in the history of the world has ever had so widespread luxury. No generation has ever had so much technology. No generation has ever had more medical advancement. No generation has ever been exposed to so much leisure and comfort. No generation has ever experienced the history of the world on a widespread level so much progress. And yet our world, all the experts, they can't explain why in that reality, there's so much profound discontent, depression, drug abuse, addiction, loneliness, and despair, which is solely explicitly among the most liberal advanced societies on this earth. Doesn't make any sense to them. Shouldn't be, but it is. The better we get, the worse we get is what is happening. And yet person after person after person who genuinely encounters and believes in the resurrected Christ, their doubt and despair are devastatingly shaken. And they meet Jesus Christ truly in relationship, and they encounter a joy and a hope and a faith and a glory they never thought possible. I pray with so many people even this week, and person after person after person in their prayers, testifying to the reality. They were lost, they were blind, they were overcome with sin, they were broken, they were miserable, and they met Jesus Christ, and they've never been the same again. Listen, listen, listen. Their life isn't easier now. Their life is just infinitely better. Let me say it again. Their life is not easier now, man. There's difficulty, there's trials, there's pain when it comes to following Christ, but the hope and the joy that overcomes that is so, so awesome. This is why Augustine said this. Who's this for right now? Augustine said this, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee, in God. Who's that for right now? Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in God. That's my story. That could be your story today too. So what happened that first Easter Sunday morning? Doubt and despair were devastatingly shaken. And then secondly, we see this. Faith and hope now are supernaturally resurrected. Faith and hope are supernaturally resurrected. I want you to look at verse 5 now. Verse 5 says, but the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Awesome. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, there you will see him. See, I have told you. Okay, notice from this section of scripture here, notice first of all, the angel says to the women, do not be afraid, okay? I believe that's in the category of easy for you to say, bro, right? Don't you agree? I mean, that's like, they're showing up, they're filled with despair and sorrow, and then like shining like lightning, earthquakes, and clothing white. I'd be a little bit freaked out, I think, as well. Secondly, the angel says, there's no denying that Jesus Christ was crucified. He says it right here. There's no denying that Jesus Christ was, past tense, dead. But that was then, and this is now. And now the angel gives the greatest news the world has ever received. He says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Love that. He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Now, should the women and the disciples be ultimately shocked of this news? Well, the answer is in one level, no. They shouldn't be shocked. Why? Because Jesus predicted multiple times in the Gospels, I will die, and on the third day, I will be raised. But they didn't get it. They didn't understand. Like, what's he talking about? They didn't know. And so in that sense, again, they should have known, but this news came to them. They were shocked, but the truth, again, starts to sink in for the very first time. So one of the things I literally hope I get to do again in glory, know where I'm going. My faith in Jesus Christ, 100% certain that one day I'll be in glory. What I hope to do in glory, and I want to do this, is find the women. Mary Magdalene, Mary Salome. I want to say, hey, just can you tell me the story again? We met the angel on Easter Sunday. Like, I want to hear again. Can you just, like, what were your emotions feeling in that moment when you're walking along, you're totally in despair, and then angels shine like lightning, and this news, he's not here, he has risen. Like, how fast were your hearts beating? What was the physical, spiritual adrenaline going through your body in that moment? Tell me about the racing thoughts of the synapses of your brain. What was that like? I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again. What happened to you, ladies, when the truth first met you? The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That day's gonna happen. I'm pretty excited about that. It's gonna be really, really good. It's gonna be really good. Now listen, listen. When they encounter the truth, it's the truth, Jesus says, that sets them free. Some of you are here right now and you're encountering the truth for the first time ever. And if you believe in the truth, it's the truth of Jesus Christ that sets you free. It's faith in the beauty and the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that you see him for who he truly is and you receive life eternal and you believe that he did die for your sins and he did raised from the dead, and you believe in him and love him, and the Bible says then you will never die again. It's the truth that sets you free. Again, the angel says he is not here. Why? He has risen. Why? Because as he said. So here in this text here, it's faith, listen, that was wilted and seemingly dead, that is now before our eyes in full burst of glorious bloom. It was hope that was shrouded or clouded in despair. But hope now among these women is being supernaturally resurrected. I love the angel in verse 7. He says, see, I have told you. I told you this would happen. See, I've told you. Now go. He's basically saying this. He's like, ladies, take courage. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and no one will ever be able to stop Jesus Christ. Again, we're proof of that today. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You cannot stop the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we go through this right now, many of you here today, the truth of the resurrection is new to you. So glad you're here. The truth you're hearing right now is new to you. For some of you here right now, this is not new. You know this, this is familiar. But again, for some of you, this is the first time you've heard it in this way. And maybe right now you're saying to yourself and saying to me, like, Robbie, okay, I'm tracking and I get a lot of what you're saying, but I still have a couple of things I want to double click on right now. Like help me understand, okay, so the resurrection changed the world. Why again? Why exactly? Can you go over that? Or maybe you're here right now and you're like, help me to understand why the resurrection of Jesus Christ change the world forever. Now, if that's where you are right now, the conversation you and I are about to have over the word of God, let me say this. If you haven't heard this before, this is the most important conversation you've ever had in your entire life. I can say that without a shadow of a doubt, because if you don't know this truth, this is the most important truth you will ever hear again in your life thus far, because it's the truth that leads someone to go from being blind to having sight, from being dead to being alive, from being lost to being found. This is the truth that leads someone again from tremendous fear of death to no fear of death at all, because you know you belong to Jesus Christ and though you die, it shall you live. Listen, the conversation, brother, sister, we're about to have right now is the most important conversation you've ever had in your entire life. I absolutely believe that. So what is the conversation we need to have when it comes to the reality of the resurrection? Well, there are certain implications of the resurrection. And on the screen for you, I want you to see a few of them. Number one, the implications of the resurrection means that God is true to his promises. You need to know that when Jesus is raised from the dead, that means that God is true to his promises. See, well, what do you mean by that? Well, ever since sin entered into the world, where Adam and Eve sinned and they were then banished, sin cannot coexist with holiness of God. If God is true to his character, sin is expelled from his presence. And so Adam and Eve are banished from the garden. But listen, ever since that happened, God immediately put his rescue plan for humanity into action. But the problem is that you and I can't save ourselves because we are that. We are sinful. So we needed a perfect sacrifice to be sent on our behalf. That's why Jesus came at Christmas. That's why he was sent in the love of God. And because God made a promise that he would send the solution of our salvation to restore us back to God himself. That's why, again, Easter happened. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, because it was God's promise in love to save humanity for those who believe precisely in his time. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise to save us, to come for us, and to love us. The second implication of the resurrection is this. It means that God holds power over death. This is tremendous news for us. Tremendous news. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees that death has been defeated. See, the moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, Jesus stands over death and says, death, 1 Corinthians, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? You've got nothing on me. You have been defeated forever. So this just in, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are with Jesus Christ, then death has no sting or victory over you either. Then you're with Jesus, then you also have defeated death forever. That's why, as we heard today, Jesus says, you believe in me, I'm the resurrection of life. You believe me, though you die, yet shall you live.
Thank you for listening again today from all of us here at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's Word to strengthen His people and His church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light.